Andy Gronick is a Milwaukee business executive who just announced this week that he'll be a Democratic candidate for governor in the November 2018 election. So, Andy, welcome to Wisconsin Eye.
Thanks, Steve.
You call yourself a business leader. You say, I'm not a politician. So explain that. What companies and, well, more importantly, what jobs have your companies created or how many employees have your businesses supported? Let's kind of frame it that way.
Sure. Well, I've been in business my whole life. So when I say I'm not a politician, it's because I come from the business world. I actually started young. My first job, I filled my coaster wagon up with rocks and dragged it around the neighborhood when I was 7 years old and sold them for a penny apiece. So that was my first foray.
Did they sell?
They did, and my return policy was pretty simple, exchanges only. So the piggy bank filled
but
up pretty quickly.
You didn't have to go to an IPO on that, your rock selling business.
I did not. It was very profitable, though, because my raw materials were cheap, labor was cheap, and the water for cleaning came from our hose, so it wasn't bad.
So, but more recently, have you run a companies or company?
Sure. First, I started out of college by joining my dad. I had grown up sweeping floors and cleaning machines in his small auction business in southeastern Wisconsin. I learned a lot about assets and their value at that time. I really came back to Wisconsin after graduating from the University of Georgia and working for 7 months with Quaker Oats because I really had a vision as to how we could convert that company into a business that really provided the best possible information to businesses everywhere so they could make great decisions. So I joined my dad, again, small auction business, actually founded an appraisal business, put my focus there. What we did was help businesses access the money they needed to grow and create jobs. What I had recognized was bankers at that time typically only worked with companies that were performing well financially. The business that we had understood what the value of the assets were and believed that struggling companies should have access to capital as well. So I flew to New York and I met with Citicorp, with Bankers Trust, Congress Financial, and others in the space, talked to them about how I could help them to understand how they could safely secure other assets so that companies actually could have the money they needed to grow. The business grew from there, as did the industry. So ultimately, when I sold my business in 2013, so I was with my dad for 8 years, grew his business to a national business, started my own business called AccuVal, grew that over the years to the largest, or one of the largest of its type in the world, and we help companies to access billions of dollars every year.
I have a tradition. I ask the same question of everybody when I do the first interview. Why are you a Democrat, Andy?
Well, to me, it's really all about caring about people. I am a person who cares deeply about people. It really defines why I'm here. I'm not a person who has ever dreamed of running for public office or certainly for being governor. But I am a person who cares deeply about people. When I look around the state, there's a lot of people who are suffering. We're not creating great jobs. We're taking our education system apart. And now healthcare is at risk. When I look around the state, it just isn't the Wisconsin I grew up in. And it's certainly not what I want for my kids. I have two young kids, been married for 27 years. My daughter is 9. My son Spencer is 13. And I want them to have the same kind of future in Wisconsin that I had. And there's just so much that's going on right now that's inconsistent that I felt it was time to step up and really try to bring some ideas and my history of getting things done and progressive values back to the state of Wisconsin so that we can get back to actually growing again.
I have a hypothetical question for a governor with your business experience. You've seen and read the stories about Foxconn looking at Wisconsin. Question one, what incentives should a state government offer Foxconn to bring a factory which could employ thousands to the state? Should state government offer incentives?
So what Governor Walker does is he offers incentives at the beginning without really having the discipline of following it all the way through to make sure that the promises that were made are actually delivered. When you take these incentives and simply say, here, come to our state, and that's it, you're not really acting as we do in the real world. Incentives in business are incentives that are agreed to in advance and then executed upon. And when those promises are actually delivered, by the businesses that we're trying to attract, then those incentives should be paid. So think of it in this way. I'm all for agreeing to trying to bring businesses into our state. Let's help them prime the pump on the kinds of plans that create good paying jobs with the kind of benefits that support families in our state. And then as those agreed upon deliverables actually occur, let's say you get to 85%, then start really paying those incentives. 100%, pay them all. But what about 200%? What about twice the goal? Twice a great goal is twice as good. What about three times the goal? We want to be out there offering the kinds of incentives where the businesses that we're trying to attract to our state are accountable to the goal, but then reward them for success. And that success can be much bigger than the original goal itself.
So you'd be willing to negotiate with Foxconn sometime, loan, grants, maybe building a new four-lane highway to a major factory like that? Are those some of the things you'd be willing to offer Foxconn to get them to come to Wisconsin?
What I would do is I would sit down with anybody who was considering coming to Wisconsin and try to understand exactly what the things were that were necessary for them to thrive, but also for the state to thrive. It has to start with the people. You know, we're here for the people. What's happened of late is the people have lost their voice. Ultimately, we want to return that voice to the people. We want to make living in Wisconsin better for everyone. So if we're trying to attract businesses that are strategically important to Wisconsin and to its future, because they're strategically important to the people who live here, then let's look at what that means. Taking a long-term approach to community development and economic development is essential. Things like, and you mentioned roads, having transportation that allows people to efficiently get to work and have their goods delivered and shipped, obviously important. But what's happening right now in our state is we're not taking that kind of a long-term approach. We're thinking in two-year cycles rather than 5, 10, and 20 years. We've been at a stalemate relative to even addressing what's going on with our roads when there's no real economic development plan that can ever be constructed without looking at transportation holistically. Not just roads, it's also rail and light rail, it's ports, it's airports. It's the kinds of things that support actual growth. That's not the approach that Governor Walker is taking right now, but that is the approach that I'll take.
With your emphasis on creating good jobs, let's just one more Foxconn question, please indulge me. Would you then ask them to pay $12, $13, $14, $15 to those factory workers on the floor of any Foxconn factory built in Wisconsin?
Well, I think that anybody who comes to the state of Wisconsin, we really want to understand what kinds of jobs they're actually going to be creating, what kind of pay they're going to be offering our families, and what kind of benefits. Of course, that's what we want to do. If you look back,
would you make it a condition of getting other incentives to bring the Foxconn factory here to Wisconsin?
What I would do is I would make sure that if I was considering Foxconn or anyone, here's how I made decisions my entire professional career. It's all about surrounding yourself with great information. I built an information business. For me, it was about making sure that you had the best information possible to make good decisions. That comes from making sure that you have the right people at the table who are informing those kinds of decisions. So there's no question that one of the things that I would want to know as governor is what kinds of jobs are they actually creating? How do they treat their employees? It goes back to how my own business and the kinds of things that I know drive success. Paying people fairly, treating people equally, making sure that you have the kinds of benefits that families need, like affordable health insurance. We talk a lot about family leave. Family leave in my company was, if you had an issue with family, you needed to leave, great. Okay, take care of your family. That's the way we think about things in the state of Wisconsin. And we've gotten away from that. We've become a state that's very divided, and intentionally so. Governor Walker has thrust our state into the national spotlight as the most dysfunctional state in the country. We need to, and we want to, get back to being Wisconsin, a state where we love a robust debate. We always have. I mean, the people in Wisconsin are debaters, but we're also people who like to come together and get something done. We need to get back to getting things done. And that's what I'm going to do if I'm elected governor.
You mentioned health care. The debate in Washington now, part of both the House passed and the soon-to-be-voted-on Senate health care, would cut spending, would put a limit on spending for Medicaid. 1 in 5 Wisconsin residents get health care from Medicaid. If you were governor and there were these Medicaid cuts became law, would you raise taxes to not cut our MA programs? Would you cut MA programs? How would be your approach to MA, Medicaid in Wisconsin, which now provides health care for 1 in 5 of our residents?
Well, we already know what Governor Walker will do. When Governor Walker was offered the opportunity to expand, what he did was said he said no. He said no to the people in Wisconsin that are our most vulnerable. That seems to be a trend with him. When you look at his plan for workforce development, the plan is let's take away food benefits from families. Let's drug test.
That's not a Governor Gronick approach.
35 years in business, I will tell you the best way to motivate people to work is to pay them. Okay? Why don't we approach families, okay, who that are struggling, pay them a living wage, offer the kinds of training that gives them the life and the job skills to be successful in their community, but also think about it in terms of the state of Wisconsin. Right now, the biggest issue that our businesses have throughout the state, and I know this because I spent the last 18 months traveling, talking to hundreds of people, regular people. This isn't about a political travel. This isn't about Democrats or Republicans. These are people who are living throughout our state, people who are struggling, businesses who are struggling. The businesses want qualified employees to help them build their business, to be able to grow. So if we can offer our families the kinds of programs that, again, pay them a living wage and allow them to acquire those skills that are needed throughout our state, we help our taxpayers in two ways. One, we're lifting people from government assistance. That's a benefit to taxpayers. Two, we're energizing our Wisconsin businesses so that they grow. That's a benefit to taxpayers. Right now, our plan, if we can call it a plan, is not a growth plan. If it was a growth plan, then last year we would have done a heck of a lot better than creating less than 12,000 private sector jobs. Governor Walker's plan created less than 12,000 private sector jobs. Millions of incentives were paid all over our state, but yet we lost over 3,700 manufacturing jobs. And the best Governor Walker can say for new business development in our state for the last 3 years is that he's last. Absolute dead last, 50 out of 50 states. We can do better than that. Think about it. We have so many strengths in our state. It's incredible.
I think you just said that a Governor Gronick budget would not cut Medicaid benefits, correct?
No, it would not. My budget would make sure that absolutely every resident of the state of Wisconsin had access to affordable health care, period.
Is the ultimate answer for the nation on health care a universal or a single-payer system, Andy?
I think that we have to look at and get everything on the table with the goal being that every person in Wisconsin will have access to affordable health care. Exactly what the mechanisms are, how that's structured, listen, President Trump has already admitted this is a lot more complicated than he ever imagined. It is a complicated problem, but complicated problems are the things that I have dived right into the middle of my entire career. And again, the way you solve that is bring people to that table. Bring patients, bring doctors, bring hospitals, bring pharmaceutical manufacturers, bring people to the table that can provide different inputs, and ultimately we're going to come up with a solution that works. You don't take a bulldozer to an existing process, to the Affordable Care Act, because of a political divide. Everything requires continual improvement. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be about. If there are things that need to be improved, and there are, let's improve it. It's what the Republicans are doing right now is, in effect, stripping over 20 million Americans of health care. That means lives. That means life savings. That affects hundreds of thousands of people here in the state of Wisconsin. That's not acceptable to me.
You say you're not a politician. You went to the Democratic Convention. It might have been your first one.
It was.
It was your first one.
It was.
What response are you getting from the leaders? Have you met Senator Baldwin, who would be at the head of your ticket? The response from Democratic Party leaders to you and your campaign?
Honestly, everybody has been great. I'm not going to speak for Senator Baldwin, but I'll tell you that.
Have you met her?
Many times.
Okay.
Yeah, many times. And I love what she's doing, and I love how she's fighting for working people in our state. The reaction that people in our party have had towards me and fresh ideas has been truly inspirational. The very supportive, very open. My process is very different. My process has always been, let's bring people together. Let's sit down and listen to one another. Let's find that common ground, identify what are our strengths, and how do we build on them. If we build on our strengths in the state of Wisconsin, we'll create good-paying jobs in science, technology, in manufacturing, and in agriculture, and think about who we are in this state. That's who we are. Focus on the things we're strong at. What are we strong at? We're great at food. We've got a huge freshwater initiative that's growing. Air, energy, the kinds of things that support life. Well, Wisconsin can be the state where we attract these businesses to make the kinds of advancements, to develop the kinds of technologies and applications that make each one of those areas sustainable. And when we do, Wisconsin becomes a supplier of solutions and products and machinery and know-how, not just to our state, not just to our country, but throughout the world. That's the kind of thing that we can build a sustainable economy on, and that's what I'm going to do.
I've been following your interviews this week since you announced, and I have a follow-up question based on what I read.
Sure.
Is your first budget going to recommend overturning Act 10, both provisions, restoring the collective bargaining of public employees, and reducing what public employees pay for pensions and health care? Can you clarify that, a complete reversal of Act 10?
Sure. So for me, I'm a person who thinks about things on a go-forward basis. It's all about moving forward. I absolutely believe, without question, we need to bring our teachers and our public employees back to the bargaining table. Absolutely essential. How in the world do you expect to have the best public education system in the world, and we're not listening to our teachers? The people who have the most vital connection to the kids in the classroom, the people who are the most important people in the classroom, teachers absolutely must be back at the bargaining table. We want their voice. Of course we do. We also want to restore more local control so that the schools that are confronted with the issues that we have all over our state, and they're significant, have the ability and the flexibility in a budget to be able to specifically address the issues on the ground. We've gone completely away from that with Governor Walker. The first thing Governor Walker did, and we all know this, is he came into our state and divided it. He divided it and he singled out teachers and public employees, and he made them the people who are responsible for somehow his inability to have a plan to grow our state.
He also made them pay more for health care and pensions. Are they paying too much now for their health care and pensions, the teachers and other public employees? Because that's a result of Act 10.
So I'll speak to my own business. In my own business, it was very important that I paid people fairly, that I paid them commensurate with their contribution, what they were doing within our organization. I made sure that health insurance was available and other benefits were available to my employees, because that's how you grow anything great. Think about it. Labor working productively with management is how everything successful is built. It just, that's the way it works. When you're in imbalance, when you force certain voices to not be heard, which is the case now all over our state, you create an environment that doesn't nurture greatness. What it does is it creates divide. I think the people of Wisconsin are done with being divided. The people I talk to, they want to come back together. I spent a lot of time arranging kitchen table conversations where we invited people to come to the table who were living very different lives, had very different life experiences, and come to the table to discuss the issues that are dividing our state. People were enthusiastic about being there, to have the opportunity to look into somebody else's eyes and recognize that I may not agree with everything that you stand for, but I can still find the common ground that we need to move forward. That's what we need in this state. Let's bring Wisconsin back together, and let's achieve the kind of greatness that we've achieved over the history of our state.
Okay, one more time, and then I'm going to give up. Are public employees and teachers paying too much for pensions and health care?
I think you put it all on the table. I think you look at 100% of that package, and you make sure that teachers and public employees have the kinds of salary, benefits, and opportunity for growth that you would want to provide to anyone so that they have the incentive to produce the greatest possible choice for public education in our state. I mean,
okay, new subject. How will Governor Gronick try to improve the graduation rate and at MPS and close the achievement gap just at MPS?
That all begins, I think, with making sure that you put kids in the same room with the same expectations. There are a lot of schools sometimes that operate with tracks. Okay, you got this track and that track, and somehow those tracks are, even though it's not discussed that way, they're treated somehow differently. If you want to close the achievement gap, then have the very same expectations for every single child in that room, and treat them in that way. Make sure that you have the kind of support in our classrooms that allow for that kind of academic achievement. That's how you do it. You put people together and you solve problems together. So it's in the end, we want public education in the state of Wisconsin to be the absolute best choice for learning. The fact that, again, Governor Walker comes in and he's tasked. We task our governor with solving tough problems. That's what we're paying him for. Rather than address the issues that you're describing in public education, what he's done is he's trying to privatize it. That's not solving the problems. Solving the problems is making sure that the governor's office, me, if I'm elected governor, our public schools will have my attention. We will make sure that they have the resources. We'll make sure that we open it up to listening, and we'll make it the best choice in Wisconsin for our kids.
You just used the term privatize, which leads me to this question. The choice program in Wisconsin now, 32,000 K-12 students attend private schools. The cost is $247 million a year. When you say privatize, what would your budget do to the choice program? Preserve it, freeze it, dial it back, or eliminate it?
I would stop the expansion of vouchers for sure.
Freeze it where it is right now.
You've got to stop, and you've got to begin to put your resources where they belong, and they belong in a great system of public education. There's no question about it. There's an obvious transition period because if we think about education on a nationwide basis, there are known best practices. I think of that as a tool belt, and there's lots of tools that already exist in that belt from some very, very talented people who have focused on education for a long time. It doesn't mean that every single one of those tools applies to every single problem, but chances are pretty good those tools exist in the belt. With the right kind of resources, the right kind of focus, involving people in real problem solving, that's different in Milwaukee than it is in rural areas of our state. When you have that kind of initiative, you can make very swift and dramatic changes that will boost the quality of education throughout our state. Think about what schools mean to rural Wisconsin, or anywhere. They're the heartbeat of our communities. Starving schools of resources, which ultimately has resulted in people have left those small communities, schools have been closed. We put our kids sometimes on buses for an hour or an hour and a half to go to school. That's just tearing away the fabric of our rural communities. We need to make sure that we're addressing the challenges of our rural schools in ways that make sense on the ground to them. Strengthen those schools. And we get back then to being the Wisconsin that we've been in my lifetime, the Wisconsin that I want for my kids, and the Wisconsin I think we all want for our kids.
Federal judges this week just upheld the 2015 right to work law. If you were governor, would you have vetoed that bill?
Yes.
Why?
Well, first off, I think the person who came up with the label was very clever. Right to work. Well, everybody has a right to work, but people have a right to be heard. Having someone at the bargaining table where you're listening and considering the kinds of input that really result in solving problems, critical. So again, I'll bring it back to an example of my business. Whenever I went into a problem-solving situation, those meetings always started in a conference room. The first thing that I said to people was, there aren't any problems that are going to get solved here in the conference room. We need to go down to the factory floor. We need to go down and be among the people who are confronted with these issues, these challenges every single day. Let's talk to those people. Let's find out what their ideas as to how we solve bottlenecks in an organization. So we would start at the receiving dock. We'd see how the materials came in. We'd understand the paperwork, but we'd talk to the people. And giving people a voice, knowing that you care about what they think, what they say, considering the kinds of solutions that are on the ground right there in front of so many different leaders of different organizations, that's the way you build something great. So, of course, having the opportunity for people to be heard, to be at the table, to bargain collectively, that's how you build something great.
Republicans in the Capitol, for now, there's a one-month impasse on how to pay for highway repairs and construction. Do you have a plan?
Well, what I would suggest, and Governor Walker again came into office making promises that he was going to address the transportation crisis. He's not addressed it at all. What he's done is he's not made decisions. He's effectively stalemated the situation. And from my perspective, when you're not moving, you're a target. It's very simple. So what Governor Walker has done is has made the state of Wisconsin and the people in our state a target for lack of his ability to make any real decisions about a long-term plan for transportation. We need to have great roads in our state and throughout our state to have a real plan for economic development. It's really simple. If you can't get there, nobody's going there. To suggest to our rural areas of Wisconsin that Governor Walker has a real plan and that he really cares about economic development in those areas, come on. Okay? If the roads are falling into rubble because we're not making the kinds of decisions that you would make if you were thinking about our state in 5, 10, or 20-year segments, actually planning for growth in real terms, you would never allow this to happen. So think about it from an internet perspective, too. If you can't connect there, nobody's going there. The fact that Governor Walker has taken money away from internet expansion around our state is ludicrous, because it doesn't matter whether you're a business or you're a hospital or you're an education facility or you're just residents. You want to be able to connect to your device. So do the people who travel to our state every year to be our tourists. If you think that doesn't affect tourism, I don't care if you're in the middle of the most beautiful north woods of our state, you still want to connect to your device.
Is our gas tax too low at 31 cents? Is the $75 that you and I pay to register our vehicles too low? Should we toll?
What I think we should do is we should have a governor that will make a decision on every one of those issues that you just described. He's had plans before him in his office that have been described and written upon and pluses and minuses all before him. Make a decision, Governor Walker. Pick one. Because if I'm elected governor, I'll look at those different options, I'll consider the pluses and the minuses, and I'll make a decision, and we'll move forward. And not only will we move forward, we'll measure our success. We'll know whether or not the solutions that we're picking are actually working. Right now we have a WEDC, right, that's supposed to be motivating economic growth throughout our state. So many people in our state who are responsible for economic development aren't even talking to one another. We need to be aligned with understanding that economic development in Wisconsin means let's put Wisconsin first. Let's have a plan that causes people within economic development to be talking to one another, to be working with one another. Let's return some of our state revenue when that happens so that we're aligning interests in a way where we don't have the kind of competition that sometimes exists in adjoining communities. Let's get them actually working together. Let's have people in our communities throughout our state who are familiar with finance, with insurance, with entrepreneurialism, with every aspect that some person who's trying to start a new business has the kind of community support that helps guarantee success. Let's bring our businesses together with our university system in real ways to lower the cost of innovation and spark the kinds of new business development that's going to put Wisconsin on the map and move us off of that 50th position last to first. Let's go to first. Let's set a goal that actually takes the state of Wisconsin to being the most active state in the country at creating and inspiring new business development. Okay. We can do that.
Two more questions because we're almost out of time. The importance of budgeting is very critical to business leaders such as yourself. What's your budget for running for governor? To run a viable campaign, fill in a number.
Well, I think more important than saying a number, it's really about the people. Again, everything with me comes back to the people of Wisconsin. I think that we have learned quite well at this point what's happening under the direction of Scott Walker. It's really more important in terms of what's not happening. From an election perspective, as you know, I'm new to this, but I'm pretty confident that our governor will raise as much money as he wants or he needs to be able to try to get himself reelected. But the fact of the matter is, when you think about what's happening in our state and how it's impacting everybody, not just Democrats, but everybody in this state, bringing back the kinds of progressive values that this state has been built on, treating people fairly, treating people equally, getting back to talking to one another again, that kind of an approach and a real plan that talks to the people right now who are suffering, where they understand that I get it, I get where you're coming from, I know you're struggling, and I'm going to put a plan in place that makes your life better. I get it. Those people, I believe, are going to be part of my team. They're going to be willing to roll up their sleeves and donate $5 to a campaign that's actually going to deliver on its promises. Because I am not a politician, I'm a people person.
Are you going to seed your campaign with a seven-figure, more than $1 million?
What I'm doing right now is what I would expect of myself in any situation. I'm willing to invest in myself because I would never ask you to invest if I wasn't willing to invest myself. However, I believe that money should be out of politics. I don't believe money should have a vote. I think what's happened in our state is between the special interests and our governor's self-interest in ultimately going on to be the president of the United States, that has changed the dynamic in our state and not for the good. We need money out of politics. So I am already priming that pump, and I'm willing to do that. But ultimately, I am a person who measures success. I hold myself to the same standards that I hold everybody else. And my success in this arena is going to be based upon whether or not people believe I have the vision, the plan, and the ability to execute that's going to make their life better. And if they believe that I do, they're going to invest right along with me. And when they do, I'm going to be elected governor.
Final question. To go up against Governor Walker, you'd have to win a primary. Why are you more qualified than the 5, 6, or 7 other Democrats who may be a part of an August 2018 primary?
Well, I love the fact that a lot of people are thinking about this race. I think that, and I've said this to everyone who's considering it, if you have a plan, if you have a vision, and you have the ability to execute for the people of Wisconsin, bring it on, because that's just what we need. We need strong people who care about the people of Wisconsin, that have a vision as to how they're going to execute. I love that. I think that's great. For me, in terms of differentiating, I come at this from a completely different place than really everybody else who's thinking about running. I come from a place as a person who, for my entire career, of getting things done, of being able to look at issues, identify the best solutions, and because I don't care where they come from, the best solution is what we're looking for the people of our state, the absolute best. And when you identify those things, when you know how to build on strengths, when you can put a plan in place that people understand, that they can relate to, they can be accountable to and be motivated by, and then you execute and you measure, you get things done. I've done that in my entire life. I can have a conversation with business people, community people, unlike anybody else that's considering this race. I worked with thousands of companies on the ground, on the factory floor, working shoulder to shoulder with the people who are actually getting the work done, and also working with the leaders of those businesses. The conversation that I can have with them is unlike anybody that's considering this race, and certainly completely unlike our governor. I'll bring people together. I'll build the economy. I'll make life better. I need a chance. That's why I want to be governor.
Andy Gronick of Milwaukee announced this week that he will be a Democratic candidate for governor. Andy, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.